Welcome to Learn How to Buy and Sell Cars with Randy Adams. Randy has been in business for decades and is ready to share with you everything you need to know about buying, selling, trading, and dealing with cars. Now, let's talk cars with Randy Adams.
Hello, San Antonio, and welcome to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars. Happy January. My name is Arnie. I am sitting in as a co-host with your host, Randy Adams, here on LearnToBuyAndSellCars.com, here on KTSA. Happy 2015. The year went fast. The cars went fast. The buying and selling process is in turmoil and in change. We're going to talk a lot about that today. And again, thank you for tuning in to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars. Again, my name is Arnie with host Randy Adams. Randy, how are you?
Thank you, San Antonio, for listening to our show. We appreciate everybody out there. We're getting a lot of calls, and I appreciate everybody calling. I'm answering everybody's questions that I can answer. There's no dumb questions. There's just some crazy answers from me. I want to thank each and every person. Also, we're buying cars. We're giving people options. You need to know what your trade's worth. We're buying cars from these people. We're letting them know what they're worth. And a few of them have tried to trade their car in, and they came to us, and they found out what the car's worth, and they go back to the dealer. And, of course, with my reputation around San Antonio, the dealers are giving what I offer for the cars. So it works out best for them. At least they got the money for their car. I didn't get the car. The dealer got the car. But that's all right. I want you to be educated. I want you to be well prepared. I want you to be able to buy and sell confidently, smoothly, and with a lot of confidence. We want you to be able to buy and sell the way you should. And I'm going to try every way I can this coming 2015 to educate you. We go to school for everything in the world, don't we? We go to school for cooking, karate, everything. Soccer, football, baseball, they have classes for everything. I want to give you a class on how to buy and sell cars. Get you prepared where you take pen, paper, and a calculator, and you know exactly what you're going to pay. And if you're in a bad spot and you don't feel comfortable, get up and walk out, because we want you to make the right decisions. We try to help you. I live by Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4, and that's what I want to get instilled in you. To make the right decisions, to have patience, to treat people right, to be fair. We want dealers to make a little money. We just don't want to be ripped off like some of them try to do. We want you to have the right financing. We want to know what your car's worth. We want to be able to afford the payments. And don't get overpaid. I mean, if you're in a bind and you can't make the payment, your credit goes down, then you can't buy anything. It just runs and you're in a wreck for a long time. So let's get prepared. We're going to answer questions today. We're going to love to have anything that we can come up with. If you've got that question sometime, you can email us. You can give us a call at 830-625-7159. If I'm super busy, I've got a lot of stuff going on, but I will call you back in the next day or two, or we'll try to help you out on your trade. We've had a lot of people call that they're buried, and that's part of the process, but we're going to learn. We've had questions from people that have called, and a guy bought a new Mitsubishi, and he drove it over the curb, and he was lucky. He was only $1,000 upside down. Lots of times when you buy a new car, you go across the curb, you can lose $3,000 to $5,000. So be prepared to that. Know that you're going to be losing money on a new car, but of course a used car costs you money too. When you buy a used one, you're not going to get the money back. We had some people in the other day that brought us a truck that they had bought, and they realized they didn't need it and they didn't want it. And they wanted to sell it to me, and I made the offer, and they paid a lot more money. And I said, well, just take it back to the dealer and see what he'll give cash, not trade in, cash. Then you'll find out what it's really worth. So they took it to the dealer, and they came back and sold it to me.
Yeah, interesting stories, and we have a lot of stories. Randy has a ton of stories. Randy's been in the business for 45-plus years. In fact, Randy always tells me he's never had a job in his life. This is what he does, and he loves it. If you're new to the show and you're just tuning in, this is LearnToBuyAndSellCars.com with host Randy Adams. Again, my name is Arnie. And this show is unique. It's different, but in a good way. This show is about buying and selling cars. But what's most unique about it, and I've said it a lot in 2014, and I'll continue to say it, the show is not about trying to sell you a car if you're out there listening. Not at all. This show is completely opposite. Randy makes a living buying cars. which is really cool. He's been a wholesaler for a lot of years. So if you have a unique situation, maybe you've got a car sitting in your driveway, maybe grandma's got a car at home with high miles or maybe low miles, maybe your son just wrecked the new car you just bought, or maybe you're in a situation you don't feel that there's any light at the end of the tunnel, this is a great reason to tune in.
You're right. There's a great opportunity. The cars market is perked up. I just got a phone number of a Russian dealer that's wanting to do business with us. We ship cars all over the United States, all over the world. The internet has made us into a small community. It's unbelievable. We just sent some trucks to Washington State. I was talking to a guy trained in the business in Phoenix, about swapping cars back and forth with him. This is really a small world nowadays due to the internet, and the market is, it's up again. And so you've got something of value. Believe it or not, your cars went up a little bit. We're going to have income tax checks come in. They looks like they've been pushed off to about February 15th. So the market on cheaper cars are going to jump up. They've kind of jumped up a little, but they're really going to be high from February 1st till about April 1st. So if you've got income tax checks coming in, save the fees. Wait on the check to come in from the government. Don't let somebody get you rapid return and take a big fee on the check. Save your money where you can buy more car, better cash, better price, better everything. And if you are waiting to take your income tax check and buy a car, shop price. Shop all over town. The dealer lots are full. There's more new dealers come in. Their lots are full. So if you're buying a car and your credit is on the rough side, make sure you shop for price. Make sure people are taken care of. Make sure you buy a good car, because some of these dealers will slam you in a piece of junk just because you walk in there and you're excited somebody wants to finance you. You got cash money down and you can make a monthly payment. I got news for you. Everybody wants you. There's 10,000 dealers in this area that'll take you with bad credit as long as you got a cash down and looks like you can make a payment. So be prepared with markets coming on. We don't want you to waste your money. We want you to make the right decisions and shop. Get on the phone and call these people. Call everybody that buy here, pay here. Ask them, do you finance in-house? And if they do, ask them what they've got for sale, what they can put you in, how much you've got down, what you can afford a month. Don't make a payment more than you can afford, because you'll lose the car, you'll lose your down payment, you'll lose your payments, just like the bad title loan people. That's 330%. Bring me your car. Do not take your car to a title loan place. They'll charge you 330% interest. If you borrow $5,000, you owe $900 in 30 days, and $900 from then on forever, it seems like, but it's over 20 months. And then that way, after you lose three or four payments, you ain't got the $900 to pay. You're going to lose your car. You're going to lose the payments you made to them. Sell your car to me. Get good transportation. Tend to your business because you need the cash. And make sure that you just don't give it away. And 330% interest ought to be against the law. But guess who owns the license? Me and all the senators and House of Representatives out there. That's why they won't change that law. That's why it's 330% interest. They're making that money, and they're not going to change the laws. They're in control.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Randy Adams, host of Learn to Buy and Sell Cars. Randy, I get a lot of questions about the show when I'm out and about in the business world and out on the streets. And a lot of folks ask me, and maybe you can help the listeners tuning in now better understand. You know, you talked earlier that you sell cars all over the world. And the big question they ask me is, how are you able to do this and sell so many cars to so many people? And the easiest answer I can give them is because of your reputation and how long you've been doing it. Why is that a benefit to the listener that you have the ability to sell cars in so many places?
Well, we've got a market not everybody's got. We'll buy a $100 car, a $100,000 car. I just bid on a Ferrari the other day. I've got a friend of mine. I've got a Viper that just came in that's low miles. Also, I had some people brought me a car that barely ran, and I gave them $200 for it, you know, and they just needed it out of the house. There's one that they wasn't using. They wanted it off their lot. But we can ship cars all over. We've been in the business so long, and we've got the reputation. At one time, we were the only five-star dealer on OVE, and OVE is dealer-to-dealer across the nation. And we represent our cars the right way. We sold 300 cars online last year to OVE, and we didn't get any of them back. And that's because we try to take care of people. We want the right description. But people will give us more money. The dealers will in these other states because they know that we're going to tell the truth. We're going to represent the car right. And that's what it's all about, being fair. I want to be fair with you. I'll try to do my best. I'll show you what to do if I can't make the deal. Just like I said, I've helped a lot of people bid on their cars. You can go to our website and follow the instructions there. Give us the description of your car. We'll make an offer on it, and if you described it right, I'll buy the car. If not, if there's a little few changes, we had a guy come in that he missed a few little minor things. We cut off a couple of hundred. We bought the truck, and we went ahead and resold it. But if you'll give us the right description, you'll know what your car's worth. I talked to a barber that cuts my hair, and he didn't know I was in the car business. He asked me about his truck that he had just traded off. They gave him $1,200, and he described the truck to me, and I told him, sir, I'd give $3,500 for the truck. He said, well, I got bad news. I traded it in, and they only gave me $1,200 for it. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear about that. And then he told me what he gave for the car. I said, well, you didn't do your homework, did you? He said, no, sir. I walked into the first place. They sold me on a unit. I'm not real crazy about the unit. I wished I'd have waited and made a better decision. And then they took my trade away from me. And he said, the best part about it is paid for. I said, well, it's paid for. He said, well, what is it worth today? And I said, well, do you really want to know the truth? He said, I want to know the truth. And he said, I paid $18,000. I said, well, I can buy them today for $11,000 and $12,000, just like it. You need to be educated. You need to know what you're going to buy. You need to buy what you want, not what a salesman tells you. Don't be intimidated. We're working on a process right now where we'll buy new cars for people. We'll charge them a small fee. We'll get you the best rate, the best money for the car, your trade-in. We'll get you a great interest rate. We'll tell you when to buy an extended warranty because you don't have to have one right away. Because, hey, these cars are warranted already. Why buy extended warranty when you have a warranty? You may not keep the car long. You may wreck the car. Somebody may steal the car. And then you've wasted the money on extended warranty. Wait till the warranties run out before you buy extended warranty. And most of the time, you can get a better deal there anyway. So we try to help you any way we can. We want you educated with every tool that you need to be prepared to buy the right car at the right time, at the right price. And I gave you some instruction the other day on how to get free credit rating, how to get your score. It's Credit Karma, KARMA.com, creditkarma.com, and then you can also go to annualcreditreport.com. That way you know what your credit rating is. That way you can go online and check a lot of great people out there right now. USAA, True Cars, Lending Money Right. You've got Randolph Brooks. You've got Security Service. You've got Wells Fargo. You've got Chase. You've got a lot of people wanting to loan you money on a car. So you're a valuable customer also. Everybody that's got cash is a valuable customer. Everybody that's wanting to buy a car that can make a payment is a valuable customer. Don't let yourself get beat up or run down on that vehicle.
You're listening to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA with your host, Randy Adams. We're talking cars. Randy, you were just talking about, the buying and selling process of new and used cars. Do dealers make you a better deal if you walk in with cash?
Oh, definitely. Well, there's not all dealers. There's some dealers that you'll walk in, and if you're not financing with them, they won't sell a car. There's a lot of dealers in this town that if you're a cash strong buyer, they don't want to deal with you. If they do that to you, get out and walk out. If a person won't give you a price on a vehicle, it's because they're trying to spin you. They're trying to put you in a four square. They're trying to do something to you. I've had people tell me I walked in there and tried to get a price, and they wouldn't give me a price. They kept saying, what can you afford a month? How about a payment of $500? Can you do that? And just like I said the other day, I had a lady come to me, and she had been to a big box store here in town, independent, and she didn't know what they were giving on her trade. All they did was say, we'll give you a $275 a month payment. She didn't know how many months. She didn't know. Oh, they told her an interest rate of 3.5%. I said, you can't get 3.5%. They lied to you there. They'll tell you anything to make you comfortable. But when you get in that F&I, I guarantee you would saw 8%, 9%, 10% interest. She didn't know what her trade was, and she didn't know how many months it was. At 275, it might have been 60 months. Should have been 48, but it might have been 72 months. And lots of times the salesman will tell you one thing, and then F&I person will sign you up on something else. That's why I want you on pen and paper and calculator, that you'll write down what the salesman says, that you're prepared when you go see an F&I person, and then you know exactly what you're paying, what the interest rate is, how much interest you're paying. Lots of times the interest is way higher than what you should be paying. I had some friends of mine years ago. Her credit, she didn't know about. His credit, he didn't know about. They just got married. They went to a dealership, and they got them separated, and they told the lady, your husband's credit's bad, and they told the husband, your wife's credit's bad. So they sold them a truck they didn't want, not high equipped. They wanted one all loaded up. They got a base model. And so when they got home, the wife said, well, we're driving this base model because you're bad credit. He said, no, it's your bad credit. Oh, did they get hot at each other? They were mad at that dealer. And it's because they wasn't prepared to make the right decisions. They didn't check out their credit. They didn't get their financing lined up. We want you prepared.
Are you in a position where you need a question answered? Maybe you're in line to get into that dealership and get yourself a new car, or maybe a used car. Give Randy a call, 830-625-7159, and be prepared. There's no fee for any of this. I mean, you give Randy a call, he'll talk to you personally, he'll give you guidance, he'll give you direction, and put you on the right track. There's so many of us, including myself, who've bought new and used cars throughout the years that have gone by, and after you get that car home, you really don't know if you made a good deal or a bad deal.
Well, everybody makes this, you got to buy today, you got to buy this one, you don't have to. There's plenty of cars out there, plenty of new cars, plenty of used cars. Also, we're seeing off leases about to dump a bunch of cars on the market. We already have the rental car places putting a lot of cars on the market. So there's lots of stuff available. We'll drive by any car lot. The new car dealers are full, the used car dealers are full. There's lots of cars out there, so you don't have to buy today. If things are not going right, if you don't feel comfortable, if you feel intimidated or you have the fear factor, walk. Go somewhere else. Come back. Make the right decisions. And if you want to know what your trade's worth, go to learntobuyandsellcars.com, and we'll give you a figure on your car so at least you know where you stand there. And we're hoping that you'll go check your credit rating, get your financing lined up so you're prepared there. You know, a lot of people wake up one morning and they decide they're going to go buy a car. That's the bad thing to do. Look year-round for a car. Talk to your friends who've bought a car, what they paid for it. True Car will tell you about what you should pay for a new or a used car. You can go on a website. There's a lot of websites for searching cars. You can search 300-mile radius in about 3 minutes. So you can do your homework. This costs you a lot of money. You may be stuck with an automobile that you're going to have to drive for 2 to 3, 4 years. You may be miserable there. Is it worth being miserable for? No. Take your time. Give us a call if you have a question. We'd be glad to answer. I've answered lots and lots of questions. I get calls every day. Sometimes it takes me the next day to call the people back and answer their question. But I want to help. I want to help everybody out there. I've been blessed all my life in the car business. I'm financially in good shape. So I want to be able to give back to y'all what I've learned, what I've accomplished, and the opportunity for you to be the best person you can be. I want to improve your life any way that I can. I have improved. I have the desire to be the best person I can be. I have the desire to teach others. I've always been a teacher. I've had a lot of people that have worked for me and they've gone on. I got two guys in Dallas running large dealerships right now. I've got a man that I've worked and trained with in San Marcos, Texas, that's working there. So I want to teach you. I want to help you. I've got a young gentleman that's been with me since he's 14, and I think he's right at 42 now. He's come back because he enjoyed working with me. He enjoyed learning, and that's what I want. I want people who want to learn, who are not dogmatic and know everything in the world, that want to open their eyes and make the right decisions.
If you're just tuning in, we thank you. This is KTSA News Talk Radio. You're listening to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars with host Randy Adams. My name is Arnie. Happy January. We appreciate you tuning in. We're talking buying and selling cars. Randy, in past shows, we talked about a lot of things with wheels. And for those who that aren't familiar, you buy more than just cars, don't you?
Well, I bought a motorhome this week that came in off of out of Covert Chevrolet in Bastrop. I bought motorcycles from them. North Park Lexus sells me Harley-Davidsons quite a bit. I bought a lot of wrecked cars. I buy a lot of wrecked trucks. I've got a place to ship all that stuff. I've got connections all over the country that will buy a wrecked unit. Just bought a 13 wrecked Lexus that a gentleman paid, I imagine, over $85,000 for. He didn't want to fool with it. He didn't want to wait on the body shop. He didn't want to see how it turned out. He didn't want to have to ride around with a bad Carfax car that he was going to have to trade someday and it would be hit a big hit on. So he decided to take his lump a little bit, take his insurance money, take the offer I made, and he bought him a new Lexus, and away he went. You know, you've got options. There's a lot of options. A lot of people think they're tied down to only one decision, one option. No, you've got options on everything that you do. So take this advice of look at those options.
So really, what you're saying, Randy, is somebody's trash might be somebody else's treasure.
You're exactly right. I mean, I looked at a car the other day, and the people were bad-mouthing. And I said, I don't know what you're bad-mouthing this car for. Well, we've had it 10 years, and things are happening to it. I said, what man makes breaks. But, I mean, you just need a few bucks spent on this car. You've got a good car. And they said, well, we need to get rid of it. And I said, all right, I'll buy it. So I bought the car from them because they were fed up with it. They had a bad attitude about it. You know, but the car lasted them 10 years. I love a car that's paid for. That's the best kind, the one that's no payments, the one that you can fix a little bit of stuff on, because you're always going to need maintenance on these things because they wear out one day, and, you know, they're not totally wore out, but you're going to have to spend some money to keep it going. I had a friend of mine the other day brought a truck by and needed a water pump and needed an alternator, but he needed a truck. He said, Randy, I've got this truck, and he said, it's not worth a whole lot of money, but I need something else. I said, why? He said, well, I don't want to spend the money on the truck. I said, you're going to spend $300-$400 on it, and you still got a good truck. You want to spend $300-$400, or you want to spend another $5,000 or $10,000? And after we weighed it up, I sent him down to a mechanic. Mechanic fixed his truck. He come back by, and he said, you know, you're making the right. I said, now take the money, the $500 a month it would have cost you to buy something else, put it in the bank, save it up, don't take it out. Save it for about 2 years, and you'll have a bunch of cash down, and you'll either buy you another truck or put a big down payment on a truck. We need to make those decisions. We need to save that money. I think Dave Ramsey talks about like that sometimes, how you need to put the money back that on a paid-for car. That way you can buy the next one cash or a lot of money down.
Have a question for Randy? You can get a hold of Randy personally at 830-625-7159. 830-625-7159. You can also go to learntobuyandsellcars.com. If you have a car that you want to possibly sell, or maybe you just want to find out what your current car is worth, you can do that as well. I mean, if you're not in the selling position, not a problem. Not in the buying position, not a problem. Go ahead and reach out to Randy, and just for your own well-being, find out what your car's worth. You might be surprised. What's going on right now in the leasing industry, Randy? I hear a lot of talk about something that's called a lease swap. It's kind of the word of this year. What exactly is that?
Well, there's a lot of people in leases that they don't like. They get in a lease and they think it's the best thing in the world, and then they realize they don't like it, or the car doesn't fit them, or they've got other options that's coming up. Yes, you can swap a lease. You can sell a lease, as long as you made it the right purchase in the right time. But if you're going to buy a lease from somebody, you need to weigh it up and see how much it is, what the residual is, and also what the penalty is on the mileage, because a lot of people will sign up when they're signing a lease and they never realize that they're paying 25 to 50 cents mileage penalty on every mile that they put on that car past 12,000 or 15,000 miles, whatever they're allotted. So you've got to watch out on a lease if you're just wanting to pick up a lease from somebody else. I've seen people that'll swap leases to each other. I need your truck. You need my car. You take my lease. I'll take your lease. But, of course, you have to have good credit on that, because the leasing people are the one that make the decisions. And for somebody to lease a car, your credit has to be good. So there's the options on that. If you can sell your lease, or you can do a trade on it. A friend of mine found a Lincoln the other day, and the person had 16 months left on it, and he picked the lease up because the miles were under the limit, and he just picked it up because the people wanted it off. So he's got it for 16 months at, I think, $399 a month, and it fits his situation, and he's going to save up some money and buy him another vehicle when those 16 months are up. So, yes, a lease is a possible. It's best for companies who can write it off. Individuals can't write it off. The government will frown on that, and we don't want them watching you for anything that you don't want to be watched for. So take your time and weigh up both options on that. Also, we're seeing a lot of people out that's rent-to-own cars. Rent-to-own is another way of just buy here, pay here. It sounds easier, but you can be repoed real quick on a rent-to-own loan. And it's just a way of paying. The interest rate, I believe, is higher than what the buy here, pay here is. And so you just got to weigh up your leasing also. That's another thing you need to think about when you're leasing a car. Most of the time, it's 15 to 20% interest is the way they figure those deals. Well, your credit's got to be good. It doesn't deserve 15 to 20% interest, but most leases, the interest rate's that high.
Thanks for tuning in to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars here on KTSA. Happy January 2015 to all of you folks listening. Randy, a question from one of your listeners came in to me the other day, and I'm just going to read it out loud since we're talking about credit and so forth. She says that in past, she's gone out to different dealerships when buying cars throughout the years, and a lot of times the dealerships, the first thing they want to do when she walks into the showroom is pull her credit. And she wants to know, A, should they be doing that, and B, if she's out shopping for a car, Does that go against her with these different car dealerships pulling her credit so often when searching for a car?
Every time you have your credit pulled, it hurts your credit. Your score goes down. That's why I want you to go to free websites that we announced a while ago, creditkarma.com or annualcreditreport.com. That way you know. You can print it out or you can write the score down so you know. And that's why you need to go get your own financing. Dealers make 1 to 15% interest on your loan, and you got good credit. I had a good friend of mine. She was wanting to buy a used car, and she was down looking at one, and she called me before she made the purchase, and she said, I buy this car for this amount. And I said, first off, you're paying $3,000 too much, but they got me a good credit interest rate. They got me 9%. I said, Mary, no, your credit's great. I said, first off, it's too new to a new one. Let's get you a new car, and I'll get you 1.9% interest rate, and your payments will be cheaper on a new car than that three-year-old car. And it worked out where her payments were better on a new car than a 40,000-mile three-year-old car. So get your credit rating. Get your loan figured out. Figure out what you can afford. Check the market, get on the internet, get out the paper, seeing if you're going to buy a new car or what they're saying. And there's a lot of gimmicks. All these new car dealers, that they have gimmicks. They're not giving too much for your trade, because I see them at the auction. I see where everybody's saying they'll give $4,500 for your trade, and they're selling them at the auction for $1,000. They're just overpricing their car, or you're not getting the price on the car, and you're not working the deal properly. They're taking advantage of you, and when you add up your payments, what you're paying for that car, you'll see that you're paying $6,000 or $7,000 too much for a car. Don't do that. We want you to save that money. That's your money you're wasting. Spend the time, learn, you'll feel better about yourself, you'll get a better attitude about buying a car, you won't have the fear factor when you walk in. We don't want you have the fear factor when you walk in and talk to these dealers. We want you in control, making the right decisions. So make sure that you've got your credit lined up, make sure you've got your financing lined up, and make sure you're sold on the vehicle and what you can spend and what you can afford and what you need. Too many people are pride, greed, and keeping up with the Joneses. I teach that at school. Also, I teach it at schools and churches. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. And I teach the kids everywhere I go, don't bankrupt your parents. You just need transportation. You're probably going to tear up the first one. We all did. I tore up the first couple I had. Everybody I know, the first car or two they get, you got to learn how to drive. You don't know how to take care of it. You may tear it up or wreck it. I've sold GT Mustangs and Camaros to kids, and they get tickets. Their insurance goes out the window. Oh, man, it hurts the parents. Then there's a bad relationship with the parents. I sold a GT Mustang to a fella, and I mean a nice one. Oh, this car was really nice, and it had brand-new tires on it. Anyway, 3 months later, he comes back, and he's a friend of mine. He said, man, that was a piece of junk GT you sold me. I said, no, sir. I said, I knew that car. That was a great car. He said, well, the clutch is bad on it. And it's got all kinds of problems. I said, that clutch, it's got a brand new clutch. I got the receipts from it from the guy that I got it from. Well, it's completely gone. So I had him take it to a mechanic I know, and we put it on a lift and the back tires would burn off. And so we pulled the clutch out and it was hot. This kid had burned the clutch up. So I get the dad over there and I said, let me show you something. First off, look at this clutch. It's hot. And it still got the stickers from being new. I said, and second off, the tires are no good on the back. He said, well, you sold it to me that way. Well, we just happened to have the pictures off the internet, and they were brand new tires on the rear. I said, now what are you going to say? Randy, he apologized. He went down and talked to his son, you know, about tearing that car up. But that happens. I mean, hey, when my parents wasn't looking, I was burning rubber too.
Yeah, weren't we all? Although the car I had, Randy, my dad didn't give me anything that the wheels would even spin, not even on ice. So that was pretty bad. You're listening to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars with host Randy Adams. I am Arnie here in the studio. Randy, for the folks out there who are in the market for buying a used car, something not off the showroom, of course, being used. What are some of the key questions or maybe the top couple questions they should be asking the dealer about that car, before they even start getting too interested on it?
See if they know who the previous owner is, because most of the time we don't, and that gets a little sticky with the government. And also see if there's a Carfax on it or what they're doing about that. See if there's any maintenance records. Because that's another situation. But you can take a good look at the car, see how it's been taken care of. Of course, check the oil and all. If you've got a mechanic, and these people don't want you to let a mechanic look at the car, 9 out of 10 times something's wrong with it or trying to hide something. Make sure you've got a good mechanic that can give you. Their lemon busters are still out there. They're a little tough on a car because they try to show how smart they are. And sometimes when you take a car to a mechanic, they want to show how smart they are. They want to pick the little bitty things. It's a used car. It's not new. It's used. So there is a little wear on some things. There's a little seepage on oil. It's not new. You're going to spend a little money, but you're saving a lot of money. And, you know, when you start talking about buying a new car and you're paying interest on profit on a dealership that's made a lot of money on you, that compounds. That gets to be big. So if you're buying a used car, you've saved a lot of money. You've already saved that compound interest on that profit. But if you can get down there and pay cash for it and make the right decisions, it'll save you some money. But look at the car hard. We're going to have classes soon on our website, how to walk around the car, how to look at a car, how to look at the body lines, see if they line up, see if it's had previous paint work. And, hey, I drove cars. Years back, we used to buy cars that were wrecked. I still buy light hit cars. Technology is great today. We can fix these cars as well as new. And a little damage on it does not affect me. I'll buy one that's been wrecked. I'll buy one that's light hit and fix it for myself to drive. I bought a GT Mustang not long ago. It was hitting the front end, and I fixed it. And a friend of mine came up, and he said, I want that car. And I told him, I said, here's pictures of it. This is the way it was. And when I wrecked it, well, I didn't wreck it. I'm sorry, when I bought it wrecked. And I said, I fixed it. I've been driving it, and I love it. I really, really enjoy it. But, you know, we're going to teach you how to look at a car. We want you up to date, but then you can get a second opinion, and it really have your information lined up. Now, remember, we've got a Saturday morning show that comes on at 5 a.m. We've got Saturday evening at 9 to 10 p.m., and then we're live on Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m., so everybody tell your friends to tune in to us. Tell your friends that we're going to try to teach you everything we can. We're going to give you a little 2 cents on what I think about what's going on in the world today, because we've got to love each other. We've got to be concerned with each other. What happened to serving heart? Who wants to serve anymore? We want to serve ourselves. Who do we respect anymore? Does television warrant respect for others? Is it television that's wiping out any kind of respect that we have? What are we teaching our kids? Are we teaching our kids our business, how to buy and sell? Are we leading them the wrong direction? I want you to teach your sons and daughters how to buy, how to sell, to have respect for an automobile, have respect for others. You got to have a serving heart, because there's two kinds of people in this world, givers and takers. Givers are happy. Takers are never happy. Givers love to serve. Takers never serve. So that's what I've learned about life. I want to serve you. I want to help you. I want to educate you. Thank you for tuning in, and make sure that you listen to us on Saturday morning, 5 a.m., Saturday evening, 9 to 10, and Sunday evening at 6:30.
Sunday at 6:30, folks, you can tune in and talk to Randy Adams live on air for that half hour. Get your question, write it down, have it ready. Give Randy a call this Sunday at 6:30. He would love to hear from you. Randy, I remember back in the day, my dad, you know, he was a real proud Polish man, and he'd go out looking for cars, and I'd go with him as a little boy, and we'd go place to place looking at different cars. And you know, the first thing he'd ever do, real proud, like, he'd go and he'd open that door, and he'd pull the hood lever inside that car, and he'd flip that hood up. First thing he'd do is he'd pull out his little handkerchief and he'd check that dipstick for that oil. And I always thought, is that all you got to do?
Well, honestly, you really need to check it. You need maintenance records, because you need to find out if the return oil tube to the oil pump is small. There's a lot of cars out there that have a small return oil tube that goes to the oil pump. And if it is, and they didn't get the oil changed, the real bad reputation of Dodge 2.7 V6s is because the motor doesn't last long. And they'll last long if somebody changes every 3,000 miles, changes air filters, keeps that car up to date, the 2.7 or less. But if they let the oil changes go long, they don't change that air cleaner, those motors will lock up. And the reason I tell you, I thought I had one that was good, and I'd sold it to a guy, and he started back to Del Rio, and the motor locked up. We had to go get the car, bring it back, and put a motor in it. But, you know, you've really got to see how somebody's taken care of, because oil is a lifeline of that engine. So be sure that, yes, check the oil. I tell you something else. I have a diesel wrecker that we about put it out for the good old days. It's got over 1 million miles on it, but we changed oil every 3,000 miles, and I changed transmission fluid, it's automatic, every 60,000 miles. A lot of people don't change transmission fluid. I believe in it, but this wrecker has got over 1 million miles on it, and we didn't have any problems with it. In fact, I went to Barrett Jackson. I was thinking about Barrett Jackson the other day. I hauled cars to Barrett Jackson back in the 70s. Back and forth to Phoenix with that truck, and it had at that time 500,000 or 600,000 miles back in the 70s. Back in the 90s. I've dated myself right there. But Barrett Jackson is coming up. It's fun watching TV. I'm usually out there. I'm not going this year. I've got a lot of friends that are going to be out there. I know Spanky, the head auctioneer, and Amy, his wife, and all the ring men. Hey, it's great entertainment, but let me tell you, folks, they open the bars at 10 o'clock, and there's people standing in line, and they get lubricated up, because it's if you got a bidder's number, it's free drinks. And then if they get that camera in front of them, they want to show everybody they can spend $100,000. I have bought lots of cars. People have bought at Barrett Jackson, got them home, realize they don't have room to put it, don't want to pay the insurance, not really going to drive it enough, don't really want it. I have bought a lot of cars. People have bought at Bear Jackson for a lot less than they bought at Bear Jackson. So what you see on TV is fun. I enjoy myself when I'm out there. I've got a lot of friends, I know all the people out there. I'm going to miss it this year, dude. I'm working on the radio. We're working on maybe going to some other cities with our program. So I don't have time to go out there, but I will be watching it on TV. I will record it. I will see what's going on out there. I will watch the market. Scotty Gray, good friend of mine, sold a lot of cars out there. I know Boyd Connington personally. He was on television. I made TV camera quite a few times for being on the stage and out there. But I'll miss it this time, so I'll be watching it on TV. So everybody watch it on TV, and when you've got one of them old cars sitting in the garage that needs $100,000 spent on it to restore it, don't think that you can restore it and go out there and make money. You can sell me your old clunkers, your old antique cars. In fact, I've got a guy that called me on a 50 Mercury I'm trying to buy right now because I've got my 50 Mercury sold. And I also got another Model A. There's lots of Model A's out there. I've got a restored Model A man's trying to sell me. But, yeah, I'll put a figure on anything. Good, the bad, or the ugly. So give us a call, 830-625-7159.
Randy, we get quite a few emails to learntobuyandsellcars.com. And one of the emails that came in most recently was Sally from New Braunfels. One of her questions is, she loves Chevys and wants to know, is there a way to determine when the dealers come out with rebates? How do the dealers come out to the rebates, and how do they determine that?
You can go to the website of General Motors or whatever car you're looking for, and they'll advertise it. It's on website, and you can ask the dealer. Now, there's a lot of rebates that go strictly to the dealer. Sometimes they pass that on. Sometimes they don't. So it just depends on who you're dealing with and how hard you deal with them. If you're prepared and you shop enough dealers, you know, get on that website. If you're going to buy a new car, and you're not using our new process, it'll be out going in about 30 days, get on the website, shop that price, shop your trade, and, hey, then get out and see who'll make a mistake. These guys want your business more than you'll ever dream, but they're trained assassins. They'll take all the money that you'll give them. They'll tell you anything that they can tell you. They go to meetings every day, and they'll say, why didn't you sell Sally a car? You can say, well, that she said this, well, you need to do this, 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 and you need to call her. And they'll call you and call you and call you until you answer, or you finally quit answering and they give up. But most of the time, they're trained assassins. They read books. They have classes. They have meetings. They want your money. They're going to work any way they can to get every dime, every bit of that payment they can out of it. So shop the internet for prices. Shop the internet. See if there's rebates. And see who wants your business more. And I guarantee you, if they're not telling you the truth, hey, print it off of the internet or write it down. And when you walk in, you want that price. You do not want them to add anything. No dealer prep. Hey, dealer prep's them all. They, you know, you don't need to pay that dealer prep. A lot of dealers will tell you, if you're shopping price against us and you go to some other dealer, they're going to tell you dealer prep. Don't pay the dealer prep. Don't play transportation. I've heard new car dealers charge people for transportation to get it from Detroit or get it from wherever it's coming from in order for them to sell it. Don't pay transportation. Don't waste that time. Don't waste that money. That's pure profit in their pocket that you've given away. And guess what? You're paying interest on their profit. They're gathering that money, smiling at you. And if you're financing with them and you don't know what interest rate you qualify for, you'll be paying extra interest on that profit too.
Interesting, Randy. Very, very interesting. Great, great content today. Thanks for tuning in, folks. This is KTSA News Talk Radio. You're listening to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars with host Randy Adams. Randy, we're going to do something kind of fun today that you weren't aware of because I didn't tell you before the show started. I hope you're good with this, but I think it'll be kind of fun because this will kind of pertain to a lot of the folks listening out there. We're going to go through the top 10 worst new cars in the market, according to research and reviews for 2014. And I'm going to see if you agree or disagree.
Now, hold it. You want my 2 cents on that before we get started?
I want to give you your two cents.
Cars of the year It depends on who pays the most money to these people who write these articles. And I'm going to tell you, we used to see cars that it was car of the year and they were nothing but trouble. You know, sometimes these guys get paid. There's a guy on another radio station that gets paid to drive cars around and promote them. And he does it and he don't care because he gets some money in his pocket. And he tells people to go to his preferred dealers, and I know them all. I wouldn't send a customer to none of them. And you walk in there like a little old lamb in there, and they just slaughter you because you're not prepared. You don't know your rate. You don't know what you qualify for. You haven't shopped the price. And they tell me they pay a lot of money to that guy on that other radio station. And these people are so gullible, they walk in there, and they sit down, and they sign up, and they pay way too much interest, extended warranty. That's way overcharged. So get prepared. This all business is money. Money, money, money. And it depends on how much they can make. The manufacturers pay these people to write these articles. So let's see what the worst 10 are.
All right. Well, let's see. And that's why I did this, because you know what? I knew you wouldn't agree with these articles. And this will be interesting. So, folks, if you're out there, let's see if your car is mentioned in this supposed top 10 worst cars to buy for 2014. Randy, we're going to get you to agree or disagree. Car number one of the 10 worst cars you can buy in last year. Car number one, the Mitsubishi Outlander.
Well, you know, it depends on how you take care of it and how you buy it. That's not a bad car. We see those cars. They're not 200,000-mile cars, but they're good 100 to 120,000-mile cars. And if you buy it cheap enough, and you can buy those units, you know, $16,000, $17,000, you make the right purchase, they're okay.
All right. Well, there you go. Here we go. Car number two. Folks, if you had a Mitsubishi there, then I guess you're in better shape than what you thought when you heard the car come out. All right. Car number two of the 10 worst cars to buy in 2014 last year, a Chrysler 200 convertible. Agree or disagree, Randy?
Well, too many people buy convertibles that it's fun for about a week. And after that, it's hot, it's noisy, it's rattly. And if somebody cuts the top, it's expensive. Sometimes your insurance will cover it or not. So, you know, Chrysler 200s, the convertible, I wouldn't buy one. But, you know, if that's what you want and you really think you're going to enjoy and use a convertible because they're more money, and right now you can steal one. I'm telling you, the market on convertibles have dropped and has always dropped up till April 1st. And it used to be, they're great from April 1st to July 4th, and after July 4th, convertibles go back down. And after September 1st, sports cars and high-dollar luxury cars go down.
All right. Well, let's get on to car number three, an Acura ILX. Good or bad? Agree or disagree?
You know, there's not enough of them to get an opinion on those. So, I mean, I really can't say about that car, but Acura Bill's a good car.
All right, let's get on to number five of the 10 worst cars of 2014 to purchase, a Jeep Compass.
Well, we see a lot of Jeep Compasses, and they're, you know, depends on, a lot of people buy a Jeep, they can four-wheel everything, and, you know, if you take care of a Jeep Compass, they're all right. Their resale value is not real strong, but they're not a bad car either. I mean, they're not the worst car out there, and if you can make the right purchase on it, especially used, they're cheap.
All right, so you Jeep Compass owners are in pretty decent shape. This one really surprised me. They called this car the poster child of mediocrity, the Toyota Corolla.
I love Toyota Corollas. They're a great car for the money. I don't care what anybody says. I recommend them. You can buy a new one for $15,000, $16,000, and you can run that car for 250,000 miles because I've owned some of them with 250,000 miles. They're a great purchase. I think they're a great purchase.
All right, you Corolla owners are winners. This next one's a big car. I see it on the road quite a bit. A lot of people have them. One of the big things they say here is people actually buy these, the Lincoln Navigator.
Well, I mean, it depends on if it fits your family and it's safe. You got to watch out for the airbags on the rear. I've spent a lot of money there. But they're okay if you need a big family and you want to, you know, have a little prestige in your life, it gets back to afford and can't afford. There's two kinds of cars, afford and can't afford. If you can afford a Navigator and that's what you want, yes, that's not a bad car. Now, they're very expensive new, but they drop like a rock, so a used one would be a better purchase.
All right, Lincoln Navigator, folks, not too bad. You're driving high class and driving money for sure. Okay, here's one. The top 10 worst purchases of 2014. We're getting host Randy Adams to agree or disagree with his vast background in vehicle buying and selling. Here we go, Randy. How about the Volkswagen Jetta S?
Well, they have a few little issues, but they're good to about 120,000 miles. If I own one, I'd sell it at and about 80,000-85,000 miles. And they're cheap. Those cars are, you can buy one of those new under $20,000 pretty easy. And if they're fine driving cars, but, be prepared on any car you buy to spend money to fix it. They all have some kind of problem. You're going to spend a little money here, a little money there. They sell a lot of Jettas. I buy a few, when dealers that I do business with need to get rid of them. So it's not the worst car on the market. I think Corolla's a great car. Ford's building some great cars right now. Nissan's got some good cars. I mean, quality of car in the last 15 years has got better. Everybody builds a better car. I remember when Kia was the worst car in the world, and now they build a pretty good car. I remember when Hyundai came out, that Hyundais, if they went to 60,000 miles, we threw a party for it, tried to put it in a museum because they wouldn't make it to 60,000 miles. Now they build one of the better cars around. It's because those guys had to build a better car. They're working hard to build something that people want, and that's the key. But technology's come a long way, and cars have come a long way. So now, you know, you just need to weigh it up. I see cars with 200,000 miles, and when they last 200,000 miles and they still run and drive good, I had a Buick LeSabre the other day that had 195,000 miles, and I jumped in it, and it had a full tank of gas, so I thought I'd get rid of this gas. It's getting cheaper, but I still don't want to waste it. So I was driving this car around. That car was still getting 30 miles to the gallon, still drove great, was tight, and had 195,000 miles. It's proved to me that Buick still builds a pretty good car.
Two more cars very quickly, Randy. They said this car here is bypass your General Motors showroom, Chevrolet and GMC twins. Lousy 5-cylinder engines, the Chevrolet Colorado.
Well, I've just had a Chevrolet Colorado with 180,000 miles. The new Colorado, which they've updated, they tell me is as high as a full-size truck. I wouldn't buy one over a full-size truck. I'd buy the full-size truck, but Colorado has got a new vehicle out. It got named Truck of the Year. I wonder who said that or who paid the money. But anyway, I don't see how they can prove it's the Truck of the Year already when there's none of them out.
Yeah, that's a good point. And lastly, I've never heard of this one, the Mitsubishi i-MiEV.
Yeah, they're a little bitty car. And there's not enough of them for me to judge on those. I mean, you know, Mitsubishi's a cheaper car. Most of the Mitsubishi dealers, you got to watch out because they'll overcharge you for those cars. I had a friend of mine walk in a Mitsubishi dealer the other day wanting to buy his daughter a new Mitsubishi, and they wouldn't price it. They wanted to keep talking about how much a month. They wouldn't give him a price. So he called me. I said, go buy something else, you know.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was just a little interesting little segment and might kind of pertain to some of the folks out there and see if their car was mentioned. You got a little better insight about your vehicle. That was kind of cool. Randy, we've got about 3 to 4 minutes left in the show. Again, you're listening to Learn to Buy and Sell Cars. You have a question for Randy, you can reach him at 830-625-7159 or go to learntobuyandsellcars.com.
Well, I've got a good friend of mine that's in the body shop business. And I don't know who to recommend in body shop business. There's a lot of good ones out there. Technology's got great. I like them all. But he wants to tell everybody how to read their insurance policy. Because when you have an accident, sometimes you get shortchanged by your insurance company. We fight with insurance companies constantly because they're always not wanting to pay the customer what their car's worth. and they love their car. And there's a car usually that gets wrecked that they don't want to get rid of that car. So we want to prepare you on how to look at your insurance policy before you have the accident, before you take it to the body shop. How to, and I want to ask him questions. How do you deal with the body shop? What questions do you ask the body shop? Because everybody gets in a little fender bender every once in a while. There's a, you go to buy these body shops, all their lots are full. And if we have any ice coming up in this winter time, there'll be a lot of cars in the body shop. And anytime we have a first rain with a little mud and grease on the highways, there's a lot of accidents there. So we want to get you prepared on the insurance business and the body shop business, and that's coming up in February. I'm bringing those people in to show you how to do the right thing in each one of them. And insurance is real important. I mean, and being Carfaxes nowadays, you got to watch out how to read a Carfax, because a lot of bad Carfaxes, Carfax is not 100% right, never are. We've had a lot of problems with Carfax and auto checks having the wrong information. Like I say, I had a car one day that's never been close to an accident, and Carfax had it totaled out. So we'll be prepared. We'd like to talk to you about Carfax sometime. I'm trying to get a real expert on there. I deal with it. I buy cars with bad Carfaxes because the value is not there. You deduct a lot. And we had a bad situation come up with some friends of mine who bought a salvage title truck, and they hate it. And they called me this week wanting to get rid of that salvage title truck. And I said, well, what'd you pay for it? They paid $18,000 for it, and I couldn't believe it. And so they went and tried to trade it at a dealership, and the dealership called me. I said, I'm familiar with the unit. I'll give $8,000. He said, well, I show where they just gave $18,000 for it at a sale. I said, yeah, it was a sheriff's sale. And they bought it in the sheriff's sale. Of course, it's a lot of these sales. Make sure that the sale that you're at has to announce when it's a salvage title or a bad title so you're not in a trap. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in at our radio stations. Remember, it's Saturday morning at 5 a.m., Saturday night 9 to 10 p.m., and live Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. I thank you for the calls. I thank you for the people going to our website. I thank you for being able to talk to you people. I love answering your questions. There's no dumb questions, just squirrely answers from me sometimes that you won't like. But anyway, give us a call. Go to our website. We love you. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling us. Thank you, Arnie.
Enjoyed it. Can't wait till next week. Chris, our producer, you're the man.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it. I thank KTSA. I love KTSA. I really love San Antonio. I've lived here all my life. I have no intentions of leaving here. But everybody, let's appreciate our policemen, firemen, and servicemen. Every day, we love you.